In the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and all things in them, who remains faithful unto all eternity, and who shall never abandon the work of his own hands. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the mighty working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Shall we begin our worship of the Lord this morning by singing together from hymn number 27. Hymn number 27. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Hymn number 27, all three stanzas. Shall we pray? O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from whom and through whom and unto whom are all things, great is thy faithfulness, founded and anchored in thy decrees before the world began. Great is thy love towards us and towards this world which thou hast made. O Father, grant that thy word may have its free course through our hearts this morning, and that thy faithfulness will be elevated in our midst, that we may more and more come to know that thou art a faithful God, whose promises are unshakable, whose ways are right, and that thou dost control our lives in the hollow of thine almighty hand. Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the preaching of thy word, wherever it is being preached, by whomsoever it is being preached, that it shall not return void unto thee, but shall accomplish those things whereunto it is sent out. Father, we pray for thy church throughout the length and breadth of the world, and we pray that they may more and more be converted towards the teaching of thy word and desire only to obey it and to carry it out and to influence all with whom they come into contact. O Father, fill us with thy spirit and give us a vision of the need of this world and of our obligation to encounter whomsoever will listen with the unspeakable riches of the gospel according to our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this theological seminary. Bless all the professors who work here. We thank thee for their several gifts. We thank thee that they are dedicating their lives to training young men to go out into thy vineyard and to labor for thee. Be with each one of the students, dear Lord. Thou knowest their problems and evidence day by day in their lives that great is thy faithfulness. And it is with an attitude of expectancy that we come to thee this morning in fear and trembling, grouping ourselves round the infallible word of God, and we would only say, O God, send thy spirit with power to work deeper into our lives through the preaching of thy word, and open our ears that we may say with Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant listeneth. We ask this only for Jesus' sake, that his name may be magnified and glorified. Amen. Shall we turn to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, beginning verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And in chapter 9, a few verses from chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you for all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, thy man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Finally, just 4 verses from Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, beginning at verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the subject of Noah and the covenant or covenants which God made with him is indeed a difficult subject. There has been very much theological discussion as to how it hinges on the doctrine of common grace and the doctrine of special grace. And I must say that even as of now, the situation is not altogether clear to me. But there are some things that are clear to me, and this I would like to share with you in the 5 minutes we still have this morning. Also, I wish my nose would stop bleeding, then I'd be able to preach with a little more fire. So you'll have to bear with me. The first thing which seems extremely interesting as I read this account is that, and it's also taught by other passages of Scripture that we unfortunately have not had time to look at, is the connection between the covenant that God made with Adam and the covenant that he made with Noah. There is considerable amount of similarity, inasmuch as Adam walked amongst the animals and was to covenantally rule them, so do we get this same emphasis in Noah after the flood, and God's covenantal faithfulness towards all living beings. However, the earth had become full of violence and iniquity, we read, and God repented that he had made man and determined to put an end to all flesh. Now you may say here, well, this sounds as if God really is like what many non-Calvinists consider Calvinists to be like, that he creates the greater portion of humanity and of the universe, I guess, just to have the joy of destroying it. But I don't read it that way at all, beloved. It is true that only these 8 people were saved inside of the ark. But it is very clear that God was grieved when he saw that the earth had become full of violence, that it grieved him that humanity should have been reduced to these straits, and that it was always his ultimate concern to save the earth and to save man. This is very interesting, because if you will take the trouble to read the epistle of Peter, you will see that Noah is there called a prophet of righteousness. And the implication is that as he constructed that ark, that he preached to the people, that he implored them to repent, and to turn from the wrath that was to come, like a primitive John the Baptist. By primitive I merely mean a John the Baptist at an earlier age. but that the people hardened their wicked heart, and they would not come into the ark. And so God in his great love, in order to save the world eschatologically, as we shall shortly see, told Noah to take his wife and his sons and their three wives, electing them from those that would not listen, and to come into the Ark of the Covenant, and to show the cosmos-embracing scope of the covenant, also to bring in every living being that was upon the face of the earth. And then we can see Noah standing at the top of the steps, looking down at the people who had been joking and had been rejecting the grace of God and imploring them perhaps one last time to save themselves and to come into the Ark of the Covenant which prefigured the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would not. And so we then read the solemn words that the door was shut. God shut the door. It was at this point in history that the initial penalty of Adam's breach of the covenant, the day that thou dost eat of this forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die, that the extended sentence finally fell on humanity, and all living beings in whom the breath of life was in their nostrils died. But inside of the ark, God still purposed to save the new humanity. He purposed to bring them out of that ark, to start life over again, so that we read that Noah, coming out of the ark as a second Adam, as it were — I don't mean to imply in any way that he was the Savior Jesus Christ, to the contrary, it was the ark that saved Noah, prefiguring Christ — but nevertheless, coming out of the ark with all of those animals like a second Noah, he is told to continue to do all things to the glory of the Lord, to institute civil government, to see to it that law and order is maintained. And after this traumatic experience, in which the greater part of the then inhabited world was obliterated, God renewed his covenantal faithfulness by telling Noah and all of those with him that just as certainly as the rainbow will shine in the sky, that when man looks at the rainbow, he may know of a surety that God will never again obliterate this earth by water. And this, I think, is taken up in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Amazing statement, as if the entire process of obliterating the wicked in the day of the great flood was a little wrath of God, but the emphasis should not be placed there. Rather should the emphasis be placed on the next clause, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. God promises that humanity shall not be obliterated. He promises that humanity will expand and all of the animals with them, and that not the devil will win, but that our Savior Jesus Christ shall win, and that this new humanity will serve God, having been saved by the Ark of the Covenant, prefiguring the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the prophet says in verse 10, and here it is as if he catches an eschatological insight of the end of all things, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Does this not speak to us of the end of all things, when the very mountains shake and tremble, When the wicked call out in anguish, fall on us mountains and hide us caves, for the day of the wrath of the Lamb hath come. Well now, says God, it seems to me, even in those days his loving kindness will not change. The Lord who standeth firm forever, his covenant forgetteth never. Great is his faithfulness. We can depend upon him to the very end, when hidden in the Ark of the Covenant, Jesus Christ. And then, very interestingly, the 11th verse, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. Here we can almost see Noah inside of the ark, tossed backwards and forwards by these waves. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Does this not take us right to the very throne of God eschatologically, with the rainbow surrounding it as the ultimate eschatological fulfillment of the Noachic covenant? Let us not merely point out that those who were in the ark were few in number at that particular time. They were. Let us rather stretch the universal scope of that covenant and the eschatological faithfulness of Almighty God. Does this description of the stones and the sapphires not take us to the glorious vision of the heavenly Jerusalem to come? When, if I may use these terms, special grace and common grace and all of the covenants will ultimately be crystallized into the city of God forever and ever. Gentlemen, tell me, where do you stand this morning in relation to the Ark of the Covenant? Are you outside of it, shortly to be swept away by the judgment waters of Almighty God? Or have you entered in through the door into the ark, as did Noah and those with him? Are you safe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Ark of the Covenant? Are you regnant in your position as King of creation, reigning over the animals and all of creation round about you within that ark? Are you obedient to God's command to go forth and to do everything to his glory, as one to whom the salvation of the universe is entrusted on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ? You know, in the time of the flood, there were only two kinds of people, those inside of the ark and those outside of the ark. And when the rains of God's judgment began to fall, I am quite sure that all of those outside of the ark really believed that if they went through the door of the ark, when there had still been time, they could have been saved. It may sound very simplistic that I should ask this question to theological students, but gentlemen, have you gone through the door of the ark into Jesus Christ? Are you really saved? Because he said, I am the door. If any man come in through me, he shall be saved. Not enough to know that he's the door, not enough to stand outside of the door or even next to the door. The only safe place and the place where we can know that our God is faithful is inside of the ark. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee, all thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Great is thy faithfulness. May this be the experience of each one of you, dear brethren. Let us pray. O God, grant that thy word may savingly, soothingly, and sanctifyingly work in all of our hearts, so that we may know whether we are in the ark or not. And if we are, that we are in the ark. And while the door is still open, command all those who are not yet in to repent and to turn to Jesus and to come through the door, so that thy name may be magnified, and all who come through that door may know that thy faithfulness is great indeed. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with each one of us.